is Jordan Secchio in Washington, D.C. Why are we funding countries who systematically persecute Christians?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
Asia Bibi is a Pakistani Christian who sits on death row for blasphemy. She says it all began when she drew water from a Muslim well. As she was filling her bowl with water, the crowd formed chanting, "Death, death to the Christian." She pleaded for her life. She was pelted with stones, punched in the face, and dragged through the streets. The local imam finally intervened, only to say, "If you don't want to die, convert to Islam." The crowd descended on her again, pelting her with sticks and stones. Finally, the police stopped the attack, and she was grateful, only to be arrested by the police for blasphemy. She's been sitting for 5 years on death row in Pakistan. Whether that is the bully pulpit of our foreign aid, our State Department, our immigration policy, or our trade policy, we should not be giving money without restrictions to people who violate basic human rights.
Lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
One of the things that I think has shocked our British friends is this lack of strategy. I think that they'll be with us if we can put together a coherent strategy for Syria and Iraq.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
If ISIS is able to inspire violent nutcases across the United States, and there are plenty of them, to carry out random attacks, first on the police, but possibly later on random citizens. This is especially frightening and does have the effect, I think, of terrorizing.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulo.
Welcome to Jay Sekulo Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are talking about the issue of funding the persecutors. That's right, U.S. foreign funding that goes to countries that systematically persecute religious minorities. Specifically, what we're talking about is that they persecute Christians. Following up on last week's focus on Asia Bibi's case in Pakistan, and the notion that the idea of blasphemy is not just a concept in Pakistan. It is part of the criminal code. It is part of the legal system. And when you are accused of it, your life is effectively over regardless of the outcome of the trial. We talked about yesterday about the specific facts, the number of people, over 170, who have been killed because of Pakistan's blasphemy law. We talked about the recent examples of being killed by prison guards. That happened in September to a man who was accused of blasphemy, a British foreign national. Killed outside the courtroom. That happened a few years ago to a brother team of pastors who was accused of blasphemy. They're both killed outside the courtroom. And, of course, there are you've got 17 people on death row for blasphemy, 20 people serving life imprisonment sentences because of blasphemy. So, basically, their lives effectively over as well. And we are funding this country, Pakistan, with $2 billion a year, and we aren't saying, change the law or don't take the U.S. money. And there's a question here about how we fund countries around the world. I'm not saying every country's got to be perfect or else no one would meet the standards to receive aid. And, of course, we have to fund, especially if we're asking countries to do something in the war on terrorism and other strategic issues. But at the same time, we don't have to turn a blind eye to everything. And when things get out of control, we should not be afraid to call it out. But not only call it out, back that up with some kind of action. Because words are without any kind of action promise, are just words. They are just diplomatic statements. They mean, and they realize, no, nothing. Nothing changes. We've got to do something here. We've got to say no more money to the persecutors. No more foreign funds. Not $2 billion a year to Pakistan while they've got blasphemy laws, even on their criminal code. If you want to add your name to the petition, we're close to 50,000 people. You can do so by calling our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air today, 1-800-684-3110. A big election's happening across the country. A week from today, we'll talk to you about that as well. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, add your name to this petition, 877-989-2255.
Countries like Pakistan continue to persecute Christians. Specifically, Asiya Bibi, a Christian mother of five, is facing execution in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. However, there is one way to get the attention of countries like Pakistan, a powerful pressure point to stop the persecution. The bottom line is this: the United States should make it clear to these countries, if you persecute Christians, we're shutting off the flow of U.S. financial aid to your country. Period. Stop the persecution or U.S. funding comes to a halt. In the case of Pakistan, the U.S. provides billions of taxpayer dollars to Pakistan in the form of military and economic aid. It's time to send a strong message to our government and to Pakistan. Release Asiya Bibi or face the financial consequences. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Now, depending on what state you're in, folks, you may realize that there's election, and if it, depending on some of the states, especially if there's prominent Senate races going on, you have really experienced a wave of politics, and sir. Many of us, we enjoy that. You know, sometimes living here in Washington, D.C., I get the Virginia ads, get some of the Maryland ads, but it's nothing like actually being there in the places that are really being contested. For some of you, it may be a bit of, at this point, maybe sick of the ads, but I know a lot of the people who listen to this broadcast, you care deeply about your elected officials, who they are, and about how important it is when you cast your vote. So we'll talk about that as well, because there's a huge election coming up next week. It's not that everybody from the House of Representatives on the ballot again, so you've got all of those House races going on, but also key races. The makeup of the U.S. Senate could significantly change in conservatives' favor come next week, and that could impact things. You know, one thing that will change, a lot of legislation we've talked about in this show, and again, we're not telling you who to vote for, but a lot of legislation we talk about in this show that does not make its way through the United States Senate, now it could potentially after next week, if there's a significant change. Let's just say if Harry Reid is no longer the majority leader in the U.S. Senate, and his party is no longer in the majority, legislation will now get to the president's desk. Reforms will get to the president's desk, and we'll talk about that on the show as well today. Are you in one of those states that battleground states where you're kind of inundated with politics, and are you, what are you sensing in your own state? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, as you look at the races going on across the country now, people always try to make predictions and try to figure out, okay, can and there's a lot of numbers going around. So if people watch the news, but you know, they may see one day that, well, Republicans are expected to win all of these races. The truth is, though, a lot of people have voted through early voting. So that's different than in decades past, more of a recent phenomenon that you could have half the vote in before Election Day, that these races are all far from over, and that, you know, anything could happen. We're now exactly 1 week out.
No question about it, Jordan. I mean, the control of the Senate right now, where a lot of the focus is, it's 55 to 45. Democrats control the chamber. So that means that Republicans need to take over six seats. But remember, there are a couple of Republican seats that are in jeopardy, too. You're talking about Kansas and Georgia that are very close races. So if they lose one or two of those, then all of a sudden you're talking about needing seven or eight seats to change control. But I think you're right to point this out. People that are in Iowa or Louisiana or West Virginia, South Dakota, Montana, Arkansas, Alaska, Colorado, New Hampshire, North Carolina. There's a couple more, too, but those are just 10 of those states. Those are states, Jordan, where issues that we're talking about this week, control of funding to places like Pakistan, that's on the line here because the president doesn't even get a chance to dole that money out until these senators who are going to be elected next week make a decision on that. So if you're in one of those 10 states, I encourage you, ask these candidates where they stand on this issue. It is going to determine whether or not Harry Reid controls that docket next year.
Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're, of course, talking about persecution as well and the idea that we are funding countries that systematically – it's not just out-of-control populations, but they systematically persecute Christians through their government systems, through their laws, and we're talking here about Pakistan. And we support, as Senator Rand Paul tweeted to me, and he's been very clear about this, the idea that we should not fund countries who persecute Christians. Call now and add your name to this petition. Almost 50,000 people have in just 24 hours. Call 877-989-2255. That's the toll-free number. You call 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Encourage you to do that. Let's go right to the phones. Joe in Idaho online, too. Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, quick question. Why is it we're just asking for the release of this one lady? Why not the change of laws before we give them any more money?
Well, I think that, you know, that's what we're doing right now, is what we're saying is that the U.S. has got to put pressure, you know, on all aspects. So, of course, you call for the release of people. You got to take, you know, your immediate action. So whether it's Saeed Abedini, whether it's Asiya Bibi, you can't ignore that there are people who you can currently help with international pressure. But then there's kind of the long-term position. So that's how I see last week's radio show and this week's radio show. Last week, the focus is getting Asiya Bibi, getting the international pressure up on that. Certainly that has been done, and now it's kind of the ball's back in Pakistan's court. Will their Supreme Court come in and save the day as they've done sometimes in the past? Will they be able to protect her and her family? Those are issues you can't say we're just not going to focus on that. We're only focused on the big picture. But we're also, you know, so we did that this week, and then this week, tying that in, we are focusing on the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that these cases will continue to happen. Joe, I think picking up on what you're saying, if it's just a one-off few months where one of these major persecution cases makes the news, it shocks everyone, and we all say how bad it is, and hopefully there's a good outcome. Now, in Saeed Abedini's case, still in prison in Iran. Now, that, of course, tied to things like the nuclear negotiations ongoing and different kinds of diplomatic strain. Pakistan is supposed to be our ally. Now, sometimes they're our ally, sometimes they're not our ally. There's certainly some serious questions about that relationship. But they're in the top five U.S. aid recipients every single year. And in this year, I think they're supposed to receive somewhere about $2 billion. And Dan, I think Joe picked up on something that's important. And so I'm not disagreeing with him. The idea that we have got to look at all of this and say, wait, if we don't change long-term how we approach these countries, they're not going to change their blasphemy laws. They're just going to – the only time they're going to even care about it is when we pick up on a case like Asiya Bibi's. But like, as I said, there's 16 people on death row right now in Pakistan for this. There's another 20 people who are serving life in prison sentences because of the blasphemy law as well.
Yeah, and Jordan, we have always engaged these cases with both a short-term strategy and a long-term strategy. In the short term, there's just got to be international attention and international pressure if it's going to work. We saw it with Youssef Nadarkhani. We saw it with Miriam Ibrahim and others. Of course, we're working on Saeed Abedini's case. But, you know, Joe is right. Long-term, the Pakistani population overwhelmingly stands behind these laws. They just do. So long-term, in order to change that mindset, we really do have to penetrate the Pakistani society. We have to make the case for individual religious freedom. Jordan, we do that through the ECLJ, through the UN, through our Pakistan office. There has to be a short-term and a long-term, but I also think it's important to really underscore this this point that you made. Even though there's got to be a long-term strategy, the short-term strategy for Asiya Bibi's case, her case has international attention right now. We have a real chance to get her out. We can't overlook that as we pursue the long-term strategy.
Folks, we will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me go right back to the phones. Dorothy in California on line one. Dorothy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you. I have it under really good I know it's true that we should not be giving money at this time to Syria and these other areas. And we just give money out like it's going out of style. And we should not be giving money to these people because from what I understand, the money that if we take it to Syria at this time, it's going to go for killing Christians. And we need to stand up for our people.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Dorothy. And this idea like we're giving money out like it's going out of style. I mean, listen, we give almost $100 billion a year out in foreign aid. And that includes some military and a mix of military and humanitarian. But the idea is very clear, is that we cannot assist in the systematic persecution of people because of their religious faith. We should not be aiding and abetting the countries who do that and who ignore the U.S. diplomatic calls for change. Listen, in Pakistan, there's one thing if you're talking about being able to, you know, kind of a turbulent place where there are mobs and there is mob violence. But it's another thing when you're talking about their actual laws on the book. That's what we're talking about here. We can't, you know, having a strategy that we're only going to fund countries that are perfect is one thing. That's kind of a strategy that doesn't work. That's not a long-term, and that's not our view at the ACLJ, that we should not have any foreign aid whatsoever. The idea, though, is that in turbulent places, you don't fund the turbulent places who are turbulent because of their government. Because their government encourages this kind of behavior. Because if your government has a death penalty for unintentionally blaspheming Muhammad, which is what Pakistan's, how their death penalty works in that situation, their criminal law, it can be unintentional blasphemy. You don't have no intent made, and you can face the death penalty. That encourages the mob violence. That encourages vigilante so-called justice. And is why in so many of these cases, people die. Even in Asiya Bibi's case, while she is still alive and in prison, two prominent government officials in Pakistan have been assassinated, one by their own security guard, one by the public, all because of this law. And we're giving them $2 billion a year. Folks, it's time. Enough is enough. Stop this funding of systematic persecution. Call our toll-free number now. Add your name to the petition, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or go to ACLJ.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. Countries like Pakistan continue to persecute Christians. Specifically, Asiya Bibi, a Christian mother of five, is facing execution in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. However, there is one way to get the attention of countries like Pakistan, a powerful pressure point to stop the persecution. The bottom line is this: the United States should make it clear to these countries, if you persecute Christians, we're shutting off the flow of U.S. financial aid to your country. Period. Stop the persecution or U.S. funding comes to a halt. In the case of Pakistan, the U.S. provides billions of taxpayer dollars to Pakistan in the form of military and economic aid. It's time to send a strong message to our government and to Pakistan. Release Asia Bibi or face the financial consequences. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are going to be taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, remember our book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is in bookstores across the country. Pick up a copy if you haven't done so already. If you have, get one for a friend or family member. You can still order the ebook online. And, of course, the audio book is also available. If you like that song, Where I Stand, you'll find out how you can download it so you can get the song as well with the book. It's a number one New York Times bestseller, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. A big thank you to all of you who made that possible as well. So I want to get right to the phones now. We're talking about the issue of state-sponsored persecution, U.S. government state-sponsored persecution, like in Pakistan with their notorious blasphemy laws. Let's go right to the phones. Reiner calling in from Washington State on line 3. Reiner, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, Reiner, you're on the air. Looks like you got your radio up, so we'll come back to you in a moment. You got to remember, turn your radios down, folks, so that you can hear me when I come to you live on the air. Let's go to Hutch calling in from Texas Online 1. Hutch, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, Hutch.
My question is, yes, we do need to aid those people that have faith in Christ and living in different countries. The countries that we are supporting with financial aid needs to stop not only for persecuting Christians, but the aid that we actually need for the American people itself. Okay? I can't afford insurance. My family can't afford insurance because the cost of insurance itself has risen. And because you have to have insurance, insurance companies have raised their premiums up for that purpose.
Listen, I get what you're saying. Listen, there is a real case. I think that you hear from a lot of people who say, you know, I can't even believe we're spending this kind of money when we're in the current situation we are economically here at home. And so that's why you got to be really smart with how you spend it. I think that then, you know, the idea is, Hutch, there's elections going on across the country next week, and some you can already vote in it with the early voting states. But then, you know, he talks about, brings up health care again and insurance coverage. All of these issues get decided based on elections. Everybody has a voice. And this is, again, one of those election cycles coming up where you don't want to say, I was on the sidelines and now I'm just complaining about it. People have a real choice. And, Hutch, I'm not saying that you're like that. What I'm saying is for really all the listeners, because you bring up an issue we haven't talked about a lot recently, which is the insurance issue. And these things are all on the ballot once again.
Absolutely. I mean, I think to both points. First of all, the budgetary point. When you're in a situation like we are economically, all of these decisions become more important. You should not dole out money as easily as you would in a different situation. But, you know, there's also plenty of aid that makes sense, Jordan. I mean, especially the military aid. We need those strategic partnerships around the world. But that aid has to come with stipulations. It is not free. Here's the good news. Next week, with these elections, there are at least a dozen states that are in play here. And the President of the United States does not get any say in this funding until the Congress passes it. So if this is an issue that is important to you, not sending dollars to states and nations that persecute Christians, you need to go out to these candidates who are fighting for the Senate in these 12 states and find out where they stand on this. Because this is not something, Jordan, that we have to wait on the president for. He does not even get his hands on this funding until these candidates who are on the ballots in over a dozen states next week get to authorize it.
Folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. You can sign our brand-new petition. That's up at aclj.org. You can also call 877 877- 888-989-2255. The idea that we are funding the systematic persecution of Christians. Call now, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. I think Reiner is back from Washington State on line three. Reiner, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I have a comment, and I think the big topic here is United States needs to stop funding those countries. But I want to make a comment, and I want us all listening to look at this objectively without getting excited. And the first thing is, how can the United States stop funding or even suggest these countries to stop persecuting Christians when we're doing the same thing here in the United States? If you look at Houston, Texas right now, the mayor...
Okay, I know where you're going with Houston, obviously, and it's wrong. Guess what? Christians spoke out. The city of Texas and the city commission, the commission there, they had to pull back immediately. And that's because we are a nation of laws. And also, so it was not just that it was Christian. It was just unconstitutional what they were doing and wrong. They acknowledged that immediately. Yes, there are other legal issues there remain. It was wrong, but that's really not persecution. That's discrimination. There is a difference between discrimination and persecution. And so I don't think that we're at a point where we can't do more as a country overseas and then say, well, we can't really because we're doing this here. We're not killing people because their religious faith here. We're not beheading anyone. We're not sentencing anyone to life in prison. Yes, stupid things. And that's how I see that. Stupid things happen where the governments make bad decisions. Local governments. So we're not talking about the federal government. We're not even talking about the state government. We're talking about a local city government, which has shown in history they sometimes make very bad decisions. And guess what? We have a nation of laws, so it's not just about the city ordinances, it's not just about the state law, it's also federal law, and then ultimately the U.S. Constitution. And so that is not persecution. So I want to make it clear to everybody now, and we've been clear about this too, because we do a lot of First Amendment religious liberty cases here in the U.S. It's discrimination. It is wrong what happens to people because they are Christians. But to equate it, which I don't think many people would, and I think if you're listening right now and think about it, it's pretty clear. Then to equate that to people being, put on trial, held in prison for 5 years and tried for blasphemy because of unintentional blasphemous statements about Muhammad, which is how Pakistan's blasphemy law reads, and then you could be sentenced to death. And 16 people are on death row in Pakistan right now. 20 people have effectively lost their life. They are serving life sentences in Pakistan because of the blasphemy laws. And 176 people have been killed because of the blasphemy law.
Jordan, here at the ACLJ, a huge part of our work is fighting this domestic discrimination that we have. But you're right, it's discrimination. We fight against things like that happened in Houston. We fought against the contraceptive mandate, the HHS mandate. We have engaged in the IRS litigation. There is a lot of discrimination here domestically. It is a huge part of our work. But Asiya Bibi has been on death row in Pakistan for 5 years because she's a Christian. She is sentenced to hang. To equate that with the domestic discrimination that happens here is just wrong. We are going to engage in both. We are going to call them both wrong, and we are going to aggressively push back. But Asiya Bibi's case is not the same as the discrimination that we see here in the United States.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we have another half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Our new petition, where nearly 50,000 people have already signed this petition, which is great. That is up at aclj.org. Stop funding persecuting nations. Very simple. Call our toll-free number if you want to add your name to that petition, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We also have a great piece up at aclj.org about how the law in Pakistan, the blasphemy law, has actually radicalized Pakistani Muslims. So I want you to check that out. Also, aclj.org. Add your name to that petition, 877-989-2255.
Stop the persecution or U.S. funding comes to a halt. In the case of Pakistan, the U.S. provides billions of taxpayer dollars to Pakistan in the form of military and economic aid. It's time to send a strong message to our government and to Pakistan. Release Asiya Bibi or face the financial consequences. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
I can't pretend it's just not real. The time is now. We must be strong and not allow it to prevail. Father, remember, hear our prayer. Strengthen your souls lost in despair.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Taking your phone calls, talking about this issue of systematic persecution of Christians, and focusing in on Pakistan, really, because of their blasphemy laws there. And so we're focusing on the fact that we give them $2 billion a year in U.S. aid for both military and humanitarian reasons. And the idea that we don't need to be giving that aid without preconditions. And aid to a country that is systematically persecuting the Christians. And why do we say that? Well, we have a new piece up at ACLJ.org on the blasphemy law. And the piece is right on the homepage of ACLJ.org. It's called A Law That Radicalized Pakistani Muslims. Written by Shahryar Gill, who's on the broadcast last week. He's Pakistani, born and raised in Pakistan, a Christian, oversees our office in Pakistan. Remember, we have an office there. And it talks about how the law itself is radicalizing and has radicalized Pakistani Muslims. I want you to check this out, because the idea of how many people have been killed, how many people are on death row or in prison because of this law, it's so important. And so check that out at ACLJ.org. We're going to get to your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. Let's go to Robbie in Kansas on line four. Robbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you guys and all the great work you do. I'm right along with you in what you're saying about this aid to countries who persecute and all that. But my question is, where are the voices of past leaders, past men of power, men and women of power in our country to give admonition and exhortation to the leaders we have now? To, like the words I just heard, enough is enough. Where are the people that, you know, maybe they're saying stuff and I don't know it, and maybe you guys have I know you have a better inside track, but where are the voices of past leaders and stuff that might make a difference in telling our president and people in leadership, come on, get it together, stop?
It's a culture, Robbie. You know, that's the issue. There is a culture here in Washington, D.C. I'll go to Than, but this bureaucratic culture, really, Than, that has prevented change in our foreign policy for years, really. So you can kind of switch out who the president is, who's in Congress, and they kind of just move right ahead with the kind of foreign policy they want to implement. Now, ultimately, it's Congress who, with the power of the purse, authorizes these budgets, and for years past has really left it up to the White House and the executive branch to determine how they want to give this aid out. Some years, they are not as helpful with the aid. So they say, okay, we may have authorized $2 billion to Pakistan, but we're not going to give them that. We're going to give them, you know, $800 million this year. And that's because of some of the issues with human rights violations and corruption as well. But the idea is that it's a blank check written right now by Congress that goes to the executive branch, and then it gets to be up to their decision-making.
Right, and dealing with the bureaucracy over at the State Department, Jordan, is one of the most difficult things we do,
sure,
as you know. I would say this quickly to Robbie in the minute and we have left here. Yes, past leaders are important, but you know what's more important? Present leaders and future leaders. Present leaders, the President of the United States, and more importantly, future leaders. You've got a very big race happening in Kansas next week. Who you elect is going to get first control on whether or not this funding even goes to the president. So go out, meet these candidates, and ask them this specific question. Where do you stand on funding for countries who persecute Christians?
Folks, I encourage you to sign this petition that enough is enough. We've got to stop funding the systematic persecution of Christians, and specifically with these countries like Pakistan, who have got blasphemy laws on the books. So it's not just mob, it's not just radicalized populations and a turbulent place. Add to that, the turbulence is increased by laws on the books that tell people this is the way you should behave and treat others. Call now, add jam this petition, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
Countries like Pakistan continue to persecute Christians. Specifically, Asiya Bibi, a Christian mother of five, is facing execution in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. However, there is one way to get the attention of countries like Pakistan, a powerful pressure point to stop the persecution. The bottom line is this: the United States should make it clear to these countries, if you persecute Christians, we're shutting off the flow of U.S. financial aid to your country. Period. Stop the persecution or U.S. funding comes to a halt. In the case of Pakistan, the U.S. provides billions of taxpayer dollars to Pakistan in the form of military and economic aid. It's time to send a strong message to our government and to Pakistan. Release Asiya Bibi or face the financial consequences. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. I do encourage you to read this new piece up at aclj.org, a law that radicalized Pakistani Muslims. So how the blasphemy law has actually encouraged the population to be more radical and, in fact, radicalized them. The idea that it's okay to kill people because they unintentionally blaspheme Muhammad. And that's how their criminal code actually reads. You don't have to have any intent to commit blasphemy of Muhammad, and you the only sentence that you can be sentenced to is a death sentence. So a capital punishment because of unintentional conduct. And of course, oftentimes people are accused of this, and it has nothing to do with religion whatsoever. Not that that makes any difference, but it doesn't. It has to do with personal business disputes and things like that. So I want you to get educated on it. Read our new piece up at aclj.org. And remember, as you're doing that, that we have an office operating in Pakistan in that turbulent situation. So when we're calling for the funding to be stopped and to kind of tell Pakistan, listen, you want this funding? Change your laws. We could do that as the United States. You don't have to just fund people and say we're not going to get involved in how they treat their own people and how they implement their own criminal laws. We could say as the United States, you've got to do this to get it. You know, this is the kind of the what is the give and take here in the situation. And that's what we're supporting through our new petition. If you want to sign that, over almost 50,000 people have done so. Call our toll-free number now. That's 877-989-2255, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Let's go to Gordon in Florida online too. Gordon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning.
Hey, Gordon.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment with a message. You know, we are Christians, and we have a message to transmit to our brothers and sisters from the Muslim world. And my comment is, are they aware that Muhammad himself, when he passed away from this life, met with the Lord? And I'm talking of Jesus Christ, and that he submitted to Jesus Christ. And in that submission, what we have now is those who follow him, as good as his desires for the best are, are actually blaspheming against the Father of Heaven, who acknowledged his Son in Scripture and witnessed that Jesus Christ is the Lord and God. And
I think, the issue is not the theological debates and discussions you could have with Muslims about whether or not how they're letting their faith and the law and all this kind of mold together. The truth is, though, that if you were to say what you just said, Gordon, in Pakistan, guess what you'd be sentenced to? Death. Now, not because I can't understand dialogue, and not because there's not other Muslims who can't have dialogue, but it's because what you have said goes against what their interpretation of what is correct Islamic teaching and Islamic law is. So you could not have that discussion. So that's a problem, Gordon, because you're saying, why can't we just have the discussion? And see, here's the issue. Having the discussion, you don't have to have the intent there, but having the discussion is enough to get you killed, not killed by a mob, which could happen in a lot of places in the Muslim world. No, killed by the state. Actually, state execution. Government execution because of that discussion. So, Dan, when I hear that those kind of statements, I'm kind of thinking this is decades down the road to even open up those discussions because in a place like Pakistan, you just can't do it.
Right, and we talked about this in an earlier segment. There is definitely a societal issue here. I mean, there is a large amount of support in the Pakistani society for these kind of laws, but a lot of it, Jordan, stems from intimidation. I mean, you referenced the two high-level government officials that were killed simply for criticizing the handling of Asiya Bibi's case and speaking out against these blasphemy laws. Asiya's own lawyer, Jordan, declined to cross-examine the witnesses because he was afraid of retaliation. So there's no question there's a societal issue. But on the specific point that we are making today on our aid to Pakistan, this is simply a matter of holding them to their own international obligations. They are a part of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. These blasphemy laws are in violation of Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The United States should simply say, as long as you're in violation of that document that you voluntarily signed, you don't get our money.
Folks, we will continue to take your phone calls. If you want to sign that petition, call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org and sign the petition online. Back to the phones we go. James in New York on line one. James, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay. Yeah, I've been really engrossed in your show lately. And the last couple of days, especially with this issue, with the woman in Pakistan, but I really think the criteria for U.S. aid as a basic standard should be the four freedoms that we hold dear. You know, freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, freedom from fear. That kind of basic criteria is what we're about. And I think that should be the forefront of aid and any kind of diplomatic communication to other nations.
Well, I think that on the one hand, I think you're absolutely right in the idea that that's the kind of standard we should hold people to. With the understanding that countries are not perfect, that we have an unbelievable country with unbelievable freedoms that are protected and a court system and a rule of law where we can go and fight for those freedoms and we don't have to worry about our government, you know, killing us because we disagree. We may not always agree with the government. We may think the government's done things that are wrong. In fact, the government does do things that are wrong, but we can actually voice that concern. We can fight the government, not physically, but in the courts. We don't have to take up arms anytime we feel like we are wronged. So we have to, I think we understand that every place is not going to be perfect. It's not going to be, you can go into places that are turbulent. There's a difference between helping with humanitarian support, even military support, places that are trying to be better versus places that are systematically encouraging things like the blasphemy law in Pakistan. And, you know, people have talked about this blasphemy law for, you know, year after year after year. But you have to, see who is fueling the flame. Who is fueling this fire? Who is allowing this government to go get away with having a law that is so destructive? And the truth is, the U.S. is right at the top of that list. We are giving them money, billions a year gets authorized to go to Pakistan. And nothing has changed with their law because we haven't said you need to. Now, I don't know if Pakistan will say, we'll change the law because the U.S. doesn't like it. They may take a vindictive stance and say, we'd rather not have your money. But see how quickly their society unravels when their military doesn't get their support from the United States, when they're not able to coordinate their anti-terrorism activities with the United States, and they don't just get exactly, you know, a blank check anymore from the United States. And so it may take a few years for them to realize what kind of what the implications are of their decision. But then ultimately, you know, our foreign policy, though a lot of it has been dictated by the war on terror, we've ultimately ended up funding a lot of terrorists through that.
Yeah, and to James' point, Jordan, I think it's important for our listeners to understand the law as passed by Congress does include standards for this funding. I mean, just to be quite candid, one of the problems we've had with this administration is they have not followed the law. I mean, the law for all of our aid says that no dollars can go to terrorist organizations officially designated by the United States. This administration has repeatedly violated that by continuing to send funding to Hamas. So we really think that Congress has to get more specific. Congress itself has to say to Pakistan, listen, if you don't resolve this case, we are going to take this away from the administration. The funding that we will pass next year will specifically carve you out. We will not leave it up to the determination of this administration because, quite frankly, Jordan, they have not always followed the laws that Congress has passed.
Folks, we will, again, we encourage you to sign this petition. Nearly 50,000 people have done so in less than 24 hours. The petition is online at ACLJ.org. Stop funding the persecutors. Very simple. Stop funding the persecutors around the world, those who systematically persecute the Christians in their countries with laws on the books, countries like Pakistan. Call now, add your name to the petition, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We can also go to ACLJ.org and sign this petition online. Now, remember, we also have Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It's a number one New York Times bestseller. It is in bookstores and wherever books are sold across the country. I was traveling last week, and whether you're at a Walmart or a Target or a Barnes & Noble bookstore, through an airport if you're traveling, you can purchase Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore in bookstores. It's a number one New York Times bestseller. You can also purchase it still online. You can get it as an ebook if you prefer that format. Also, the audiobook is available. And if you enjoy the song that we play, Where I Stand, you will get the information on how to download the song so you can have the song for yourself as well. So it comes with the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, a number one New York Times bestseller. Folks, we can do a lot as the United States of America, and you know there are important elections coming up. I encourage everybody, if you haven't done so with early voting, make sure you're going to vote in these upcoming elections next week, 1 week from today. Make your voice heard.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. Countries like Pakistan continue to persecute Christians. Specifically, Asiya Bibi, a Christian mother of five, is facing execution in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. However, there is one way to get the attention of countries like Pakistan, a powerful pressure point to stop the persecution. The bottom line is this: the United States should make it clear to these countries, if you persecute Christians, we're shutting off the flow of U.S. financial aid to your country. Period. Stop the persecution or U.S. funding comes to a halt. In the case of Pakistan, the U.S. provides billions of taxpayer dollars to Pakistan in the form of military and economic aid. It's time to send a strong message to our government and to Pakistan. Release Asiya Bibi or face the financial consequences. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about both Asia Bibi's case, folks, and also the idea that this country should not be sending taxpayer dollars to nations, to countries who persecute Christians in this manner. If Pakistan is not going to honor basic fundamental human rights and release Asia Bibi, it should not be getting a dime of taxpayer dollars. But to the contrary, it is getting an average of about $2 billion from you and I, the American taxpayers, each and every year. It is time for that to stop until Pakistan honors its obligations under international norms, under international human rights obligations. If you want to stand with us in that regard, the number to call is 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org or at beheardproject.com. Folks, this is part of a larger effort that we are engaging here at the ACLJ. This issue of persecution, it is an issue that is not going away. It is one that is rampant around the world and that we are ramping up to try to address. That is why Jay and the Law of War team here at the ACLJ wrote the book Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. All of the authors of that book, Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, David French, and Skip Ash, had an opportunity to sit down together, to link their studios together, and to tell all of you about the origins of this book and about why they wrote it. I want to play for you a piece of that interview now. Again, this is the four authors of the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're coming to you from our studios at the Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy, which, by the way, launched our book, Rise of ISIS. These were papers that we submitted while we were at Oxford. Jordan and Skip are in our studios in Washington, D.C. David French is with me here at our studios for the Oxford Center. The book is very practical, and the reason we're talking about it, it's called Rise of ISIS. There's two things that need to happen right now. One is we need to be educated and informed on who ISIS is, their connections to Hamas, and what the threat is. And also we need to make that real as it relates to the United States of America. This is not just some threat in the Middle East. There are already reports of ISIS agents in the United States. We know, David, for instance, that there are ISIS members trained in Iraq and Syria that are now here, back in the United States, traveling on U.S. passports.
There is a Democratic representative who just last week said that 40 ISIS terrorists who have American passports are in the United States. Now, he said they're being followed by the FBI. But this is incredibly disturbing. How do we know that there's only 40? How do we know that they're being constantly surveilled? I mean, this is disturbing. We're playing games with American security here.
The whole idea that you're following them, I mean, they should be incarcerated if they took up arms against the enemy. Jordan, in Washington right now, I know there, and we're going to get into who ISIS is in just a moment. There is real concern about ISIS penetration back in the homeland.
Well, that's right. I mean, listen, we know now that there are Americans who have died fighting for ISIS, a number of Americans, and most recently one who was a suicide bomber for ISIS who has made trips back to the United States and then back to the battlefield in the same period of time. So we're talking about people who have gone to battle with ISIS, trained in Syria and Iraq, come back to the United States. They were stopped at the United States when they came back. And they, you know what they did? They called their mom. And their mom said, oh, no, everything's fine. They were just visiting family in a war zone, by the way. And then they got back on a plane and blew themselves up. And so, I mean, we're talking about not just people who may be coming back to the United States to carry out attacks here. We already know that there are people who have fought, come back, taken a break, and then gone back to the battlefield and blown themselves up as suicide bombers.
The book we put together is called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We want everybody that's watching this broadcast to acquire it. There's two things really we're asking you to do today. One is sign our petition. As Jordan just mentioned, we've got these ISIS agents coming back and forth to the United States really with nobody stopping them. And we've got to stop that. So we need real border security on this threat from ISIS and other Middle East terrorist groups. It's that simple. Sign the petition at aclj.org or call us at 877-989-2255. So it's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. But we also need you to be educated. Folks, what we do on this broadcast each week is educate you. The book is called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We're going to now tell you why you need to not only get the book, but also share it with your friends. So, Skip, let me start with you. Who is ISIS? Where'd they originate from? And what is the nature of their organization?
ISIS began as Al-Qaeda in Iraq, but it became so violent and was so focused on other Muslims, the Shiites primarily, that even the Al-Qaeda Central Group rejected it. Then it became ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq, and then it morphed and moved into Syria and became the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. It is the most violent jihadist group that exists in the world today. And even Al-Qaeda has withdrawn support because of its violence, not only against Christians and other religions, but also because it attacks not only Shiite Muslims, but also Sunnis who disagree with it. So it is the most violent jihadist group that exists today, and has declared war not only on those who oppose it, but specifically on the United States, and has called for people to go to the United States and bring the war to us.
Now, David, they have also, following up what Skip said, ISIS has declared a caliphate. Let's talk about what that means. So we've got in here this the founder of ISIS, if you will, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, now calls himself Caliph Ibrahim. Mm-hmm. This is a very significant move because not only is it the declaration of religious intent, it's also a territorial intent.
Oh, absolutely. What the caliphate is the union of religious and political power in Islam. And that's how the Muslim world was ruled for hundreds of years. And so ever since the fall of the last caliph, when the Ottoman Empire fell, there have been Muslim radicals who've been trying to rebuild the caliphate. And so right now what we have is a man who's declared himself caliph in a country-sized section of the Middle East, northern Syria, northern Iraq, who controls a true army. And so what we have is an incredibly dangerous development in this radical drive, this jihadist drive to recreate the caliphate and the alleged glory days of Islam.
So unlike the situation with Al-Qaeda, which they were hiding in caves, they did not have American weaponry or not a significant amount of American weaponry. We have a situation now with a terrorist group that has a clear religious intent, that is the establishment of a dominant Islam. And Jordan, when we looked at the research, as we were researching this while you were at Oxford as well, we looked at the depth of which Hamas and ISIS have the same idea of establishing, and this is what people need to understand. Again, it's in our book, Rise of ISIS. This is the establishment of an Islamic globe. I mean, it's world domination. It's not regional. It's starting regionally, but it's as it has been in the past with Islam. It is an intent to go global. That is the intent of the ISIS and certainly of Hamas. And together, right now, it looks like they have about 70,000 troops. If you were to put Hamas and ISIS together, real army. This is not again terrorists hiding in a cave. A very different situation.
That's right. You know, I think that's why we say in the book, it's Rise of ISIS. It's not terrorists we can't ignore. It's a threat we can't ignore. And if it was, terrorism, if it was an affiliate of a group governing, like the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban situation, where Al-Qaeda would kind of hive in the cave and the Taliban would give them some safe haven. And ultimately, as the Taliban went, so went Al-Qaeda. Though the Taliban has made somewhat of a comeback in Afghanistan as we get closer to withdrawal there. And there's certainly a question there about the vacuum that could create, again, being a hotbed of terrorism. The difference here is that ISIS is establishing a full-on ground force. They're not necessarily using just weapons from the Cold War that were left over in the mountains of Afghanistan.
Folks, again, those are the four authors of the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. You can get your copy online by going to riseofisis.com or by going to your local bookstore. Again, if you don't find it on the shelves, the book title is Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. The lead author is Jay Sekulow. And folks, as we close the broadcast today, no more American taxpayer dollars for countries that persecute Christians. Call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Stand for Asia Bibi, 877-989-2255.
Stop the persecution or U.S. funding comes to a halt. In the case of Pakistan, the U.S. provides billions of taxpayer dollars to Pakistan in the form of military and economic aid. It's time to send a strong message to our government and to Pakistan. Release Asia Bibi or face the financial consequences. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.